We are really glad to have you guys here. And we took a minute in the beginning to recognize some folks who have been here from the beginning. A few more came in the door as we moved on. But I want to say that it takes tremendous heart and tremendous courage and tremendous fortitude to take 17 people in the middle of a pandemic in a little town before the Velocity Center was open, before USBTA was even thought about, before ground was broken for a grocery store, where a lot of windows and doors were boarded up, where a lot of things were just dying, to get an invitation from God who said, come be a part of what I am doing, what I, God, am doing, not what Bridge Church is doing. Come be a part of what I am doing to bring this community back to life. And for them to say yes. And so from the bottom of our hearts, because let me tell you, two pastors couldn't do it. From the bottom of our hearts, launch team, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, for everyone who has come on board since then, God-sized dreams don't happen with 17 people. Work doesn't happen with 17 people. Every single person who walks through the door, every single person who joins us online, every single one of you that serves, whether you are 7 years old and serving, because we have that, or 70 years old and serving, I won't say who, but we have that too. We couldn't do what God has called us to do as a community if we weren't doing it together. And so there is no I, there is only we. Amen. 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 All right. So we're going to talk a little bit today about vision and where we're going. What does it mean to get in the game? And what does it mean on this birthday Vision Sunday to have a game plan? Now, when I tell you that Satan has twisted every last little bit of my nerves to try to bring this message to the point that 2/3 of my sermon downloaded and the other 1/3 did not. So I am multi-disciplined today. but it is okay because God is bigger. And so amen is right. So we have been in this series, Get in the Game. And first we talked about joining the roster, getting on a serving team, being a part. Like, we got to get out of the stands and we've got to get on the field because there is a mission to accomplish. There is a kingdom to build. And we can either cheer that kingdom on while we look at it from a distance, or we can get down in it and be a part of it like God has invited us and challenged us and commanded us to do. We talked last week about what it was to join the huddle. Asunji did a great job last week inspiring us to get involved, join the huddle, get on a team, get in a group where there's accountability. You know, scripture says, when one person's by themselves and they fall, who's there to pick them up? But when there's two, wow, they can support each other and have each other's backs. And a cord of three is not easily broken. We stand together in community, joining the huddle to do the things that grow us up, because we cannot pour out from empty. We cannot serve outside these walls from empty. We cannot even serve each other from empty. We have to be grown up and matured in the word so that we aren't, like Paul says, still drinking milk after 4 years, but we are chewing filet mignon. Amen. Well, that actually melts like butter. Maybe I should have gone with the T-bone. Maybe. Yep. Okay. Anyway, but today we want to talk about the game plan. Because without a game plan, there's no intentional movement towards the goal, right? Like, we have to move down the field. Now, 4 years ago, we started the game plan with one simple mission statement: connecting our neighbors and the needs of our community to the unconditional, empowering love of God through Jesus Christ. And that is what we lived and did for 3 years. God said, show up, be present in the spaces. And we do that through bridging, because if you don't know, bridge is an acronym. Who's going to do it with me? Bridge. Building relationships, intentional discipleship, and generous engagement. We connect with our community. We do the things we do through building relationships, intentional discipleship, and generous engagement. And that all came from our inspirational story about Hagar, who ran away as a slave, and God pursued her and let her know that he saw her and he knew her and he loved her. So we spent those first few years showing up, being present, wearing Jesus well. That was our purpose when we went outside these doors. The first time we did 4th of July and figured out, oh, we need to say the water's free, and we wrote it on a cardboard box and held it up because everybody thought we were selling it, right? We learned as we went along. But wearing Jesus well out in our community so that people would know the love of God when they encountered the church instead of condemnation and judgment and criticism. Last year, as we celebrated our third birthday, we knew that God was moving us to the next step. Like, that's where he said to be, but then there was something more as we were moving forward. And Dwight, our church planting coach, and his wife Sherry, they came out and the staff went away for our annual staff. We call it a retreat, but it's not. Please don't ever think that they're retreating, because we're working really hard. Yeah, all the lead team said, amen. But led us through God dreams, because we don't want to limit what God has to do in our church or in our community through our church with our human thinking. We want him to reveal God-sized dreams that we are not afraid to step into and to walk out. And actually, I think we have a graphic to put up there. This is what we walked away with. In God-sized dreams, you say, depending on how old your church is, how many years you have been in a church, how far out your vision goes. So as a three-year-old church, the farthest we could look ahead with any reality was 5 years. So what is the big God-sized dream, the beyond the horizon dream that God had for us 5 years from then? What was that to be? And we decided that it was a growing community of everyday people partnering with God to ensure that each person we encounter believes they are seen, known, and loved by God. Now, there's some key words in there that are important for us to understand, because this is not just a statement on a wall. This is a charter. This is a mission. This is what we are called to do as we step out into the kingdom to do battle for people's lives. A growing community, which means it's evangelistic. We are not meant to just sit inside these walls and be who we are and never grow and never expand and never get out there. A growing community, partnering with God, real relationships with God and other people, not what we think ought to happen, not what Pastor Rick thinks ought to happen, not what the lead team thinks ought to happen, but what is God challenging us to do, and how are we partnering with him to get it accomplished? Ensuring the people we encounter. Well, let's see. Ensuring means that we're actually real, that it's not a face that we put on, that we're not just out there making nice. You know, when you're being fake, people know it. When your walk doesn't match your talk, it is visible, often to everyone but you, but it is visible. And so if we're going to ensure the people we encounter believe they're seen, known, and loved by God, that's not easy. That's a God-sized dream, because there's a lot of people out there who don't even believe in God. So what do we have to do in the community in 5 years to change their minds about who God is? To allow them to open their minds to encounter the Holy Spirit in such a way that they would receive that love. Again, believing requires an authentic encounter. It requires that we be true disciples of Jesus. People that encounter Jesus, from the demoniac to the woman at the well, from Peter when he was called, all the way to Lazarus who came up out of the grave, the sinful woman at the dinner party, when Jesus encountered them, whether they followed him or not, they knew they had encountered love. They knew they had encountered God. They knew what they were experiencing was authentic. And so how do we even begin to walk that out? It's a pretty tall order. And it's not just a pipe dream. If you've been here, if you were here last year, you know there's a plan to this. What do we have to focus on? What has to be super strong within 3 years for us to accomplish that five-year thing? We have to have strong outreach, strong partnerships within our community. Because guess what? We're not going to reach people who don't know Jesus if we don't partner with organizations that aren't a church, that don't have people in them that don't know Jesus. But when we build those partnerships with men and women of character, then we can introduce them to Jesus. It's absolutely going to take discipleship, which means us growing up, and it's going to take care, not just of the community, but of the congregation, the family that's doing the work. Now, then it comes down to, well, if that's the 5 year and that's the 3 year, what do you do for a year? What's the first step to getting there? And we knew the first step. Well, I don't want to say we knew. There was great debate. That, look, when I say this was painstaking hours of work, like they're smiling around the room. Painstaking hours of work and patience from Coach Dwight to get us there. But what God revealed to us and showed us and was affirmed was that the first thing we needed to do was get 10 new leaders identified and ready to lead what's next. That was our first year goal, get 10 new leaders. Why? Because who we were, as tired as we were, as much as we were doing, wasn't gonna cut it. We can't do any of those things if we haven't raised up leaders, because nothing happens through one person, y'all. That is why some mega churches who are built on a personality instead of the body of Christ fail. There are a lot of mega churches that don't, that are doing amazing work because they're built from the body of Christ and they aren't built around one superstar. So we needed to get more leaders. y'all, so then you establish four quarterly goals, right? Like four goals per quarter. You know when the fourth quarter started? The fourth quarter was June, July, and August. Do you know what happened in May? Your pastors went down hard. I mean, hard. And you know what was really amazing? Even though we never set new fourth quarter goals, when you look at that goal for the year, from the back-to-school prep rally to the teacher's breakfast, from Sunday experiences, prayer nights, Wednesday night Bible study, all the things that we had planned to do, all of those things happened. Ministries actually grew, new volunteers were recruited, more people said yes to Jesus in deeper and more significant ways. All of that happened without the two lead pastors on board. I think that goes a little bit beyond beta testing for our one-year goal, okay? Like thrown into the fire, and it happened. And it happened so well. And so, again, I know Rick and I have said thank you, but thank you. Not because you rallied around us, we appreciate that. Not because people brought over meals to us and other families who were going in crisis, we appreciate that, believe me. But because you didn't define kingdom work by two human leaders, you kept working at it and doing what you were called to do in our absence, which is how it should be, because we follow Jesus. Amen? All right. So then we gathered again in July and said, what are we doing in this next year? What's this year's game plan? Where do we focus? Because God, we weren't sure about that first year goal, but you made it pretty clear, and clearly there was a reason. So what are we going to do this year? Where would you, God, have us focus? And if we can put that next slide up. We knew that our focus this year had to be discipleship. Now you're going to get a little handout. If you can't read this, I'm going to read it to you. But you're going to get a handout when you leave today. We knew that our mission was to build and implement the framework for an invitational, disciple-making culture committed to individual and group encounters. We can't just speak the name of Jesus. We have to be the disciples of Jesus. We have to grow up in who he's called us to be so that we are an authentic church, so that when people encounter us, they get Jesus more than they get our bad behavior at times. Just me. And so that's the game plan we're following. And oddly enough, it's the game plan Jesus left us with. The very last thing that he said before he ascended back to heaven. Can you guys read this with me? Once we get it up there. There we go. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The last bit of information that Jesus in human form left the world with was, "All authority has been given to me. Now I am commissioning you, go and make disciples." Not just fans. Not just people to sit in the stands. But disciples who will call on my name, be baptized, and obey all the things that I've taught them to do. And Jesus says, "And you're not alone, because I'm the team captain. I got you. I'm with you always, 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 to the very end of the age." That's the game plan Jesus left, and that's the game plan that we have. And so we really wanted to establish, what does that look like for us? Because it's one thing to say, go and make disciples, all right? We have baptisms, we have a couple classes, but is that really a plan, or are we just getting out there playing as best we can without having a path and a plan to move forward? And so we wanted to lay out some steps, biblical steps, like, what is the plan? How do we communicate that to you guys? How do we not just stay in our huddles on the field bumping into each other because we're not sure what's next or where we're actually going, but we're doing some really good studies while we're at it, right? Nobody can relate to just kind of meandering around their faith journey for a couple of years. Anybody else ever done that besides me? Yeah. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for being honest. So the first step is for people that want to explore the church. Remember we said invitational? Both in our five-year goal and this year's goal, what we do has to be invitational. It has to be outside the doors. Right? And so we create these invitational environments. If we can put up that first game plan slide. There we go. Oh, so there's the statement I was looking for. There we go. Building and implementing the framework. Let's go to the next one. People have to explore. We have to recognize that if we're going to represent Jesus well, Jesus didn't stay in the synagogue. Jesus didn't just hang out with the 12 and not go anywhere else. Jesus continually went to spaces and places and created safe spaces for people to encounter him. And so we have to create safe spaces for those people to explore and engage with us. And whether that is an outreach event, whether that is something that we do at the school, whether that is a more evangelistic event, which we're doing more and more and more of, where Jesus is front and center, where our presence at the town Christmas event isn't just making s'mores, but it's also telling the actual Christmas story, where Easter isn't revolved around a bunny and they have fun and there's trains and bouncy houses and all the activities, but there's Jesus front and center, because that's what Easter is really all about. And so those opportunities that we have, those outreach events, people explore their faith at the Sunday experience. People walk in here because they came to one of our events, because they heard music coming through the door. We've had people walk in off the streets because that door was open and they liked what they heard coming from the worship team. So they walked in and they're like, "Oh, it's a church, not a concert. Well, I guess I'll stay for an hour and see what happens." And sometimes it's a lot more intentional than that, usually, because God's drawing them. There's something that we really hope to implement this year called the Doubters Club. The Doubters Club is a group that you have outside of the church. And guess what? Your number one goal is not to win people to Jesus. Is that sacrilege? Your number one goal at the Doubters Club is to create a safe space for people to discuss faith, to agree and disagree without being judged or bashed or banned, so that they can ask questions. Pastor Rick would like to know if that is possible. Yes, it is possible. Not only is it possible, it's really exciting because the world is exploring the supernatural all over the place. People who are agnostics, who believe in a higher power, there's actually more of them than there used to be. They just don't know how to walk that out or what that is. And they can turn to Wiccan, or we can provide a place for them to encounter Jesus, ask questions, and learn. Now, out of the Doubters Club, it's a nationwide movement, by the way. It's not just something I made up. But out of the Doubters Club, people will decide to follow Jesus, some of them. That's up to God and them. But we create that safe space for them to explore their faith without telling them they're wrong, but inviting them to the one real, true God through Jesus Christ. Amen, church? All right. So what I want us to understand is that we have to, the first step of discipleship isn't actually when you become a believer. It's when you are exploring your faith. It's pre-saying yes to Jesus. And some of you in this room may be there. You may not have said yes yet. You may be here because your parents have you here. You may still have your parents' faith, but you're not sure about your own faith. That's okay. That's what this place is for you to learn and discover and to know. And then we move on. What's interesting is that when Jesus first encountered his disciples, the very first two, Peter, Simon Peter and his brother, when Jesus encountered them, he went to them. Like, we have the passage in Matthew 4:18 that makes it sound like Jesus came to them and said, come follow me, and they just did. But we know from Luke chapter 5, there was a whole encounter. Jesus is preaching to the masses, and Jesus takes the masses to the shore where Simon Peter and his brother are. And there at the shore, they encounter him. They engage with him. This whole thing transpires. Jesus does a big miracle. All that happens. See, they had a real encounter with a real God that saw them and knew them and loved them. So when Jesus said, follow me, they were all in. It wasn't just some cold call. They had already encountered Jesus when he said, follow me. Now, it's important that we understand that following God does not mean being a fan in the stands. When Jesus said, follow me, he meant as a student follows a teacher. That was the invitation. Student to rabbi, disciple to rabbi, come and follow me. Students were to follow so closely that it said they walked in the shadow of the rabbi. Do you know if you walk in someone's shadow, you have to imitate the way they walk or you fall outside their shadow? Like, as a kid, did you ever try to follow in your parents' footsteps or your sibling, big sibling's footsteps? You can't just walk behind them close. You'll bump into them or you'll get out of their shadow. You have to imitate how they walk, which I can't do stably right now because I'm wobbling all over today with my knee. But you have to walk in their shadow. You have to follow their mannerisms, follow their behavior. Now, Matthew 4:18 and 19, I think we have it up there, says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting the net onto the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men, or I will send you to fish for people. Do you notice he didn't say, watch me? He didn't say, cheer me on. He didn't say, give me money or fish. He said, follow me. They said yes, They became the first disciples. But if we're keeping it real, why can't we just leave it right there? Why isn't it okay to just say yes to Jesus and leave it there? Isn't being saved enough? Isn't fire insurance enough? I mean, we're on Team Jesus. That's what this whole get in the game thing is about, right? Team Jesus, awesome, go. Team Jesus, Jesus says, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full or have it in abundance. In this whole graphic, if we can put up the graphic again, what we're not showing you is the other team. See, we're on Team Jesus, but there's another team. We're not showing you the enemy who Jesus said has come to steal, kill, and destroy. We're just showing you the Jesus team that's come to have life and have it in the full. But make no mistake, the other team is on the field. Let me ask you a question. Because if we're being truthful, a lot of us, for a lot of years, at different seasons, can get pretty comfortable just sitting and not moving forward. Just sitting in, okay, I explored and I accepted, and that's good. But can I ask, what happens to an offense that can't move the ball down the field? Somebody shout out. I know I have football followers in here. What happens to an offense that can't move the ball down the field? Right. I heard three things all at once and couldn't distinguish a single one of them. But y'all answered and I'm happy. The defense scores, or at least stops them in their tracks, and the defense takes the ball and then they score. Our lives are no different. See, the game doesn't stop at salvation. In the book, The Disciple-Making Leader, the author says, a mature disciple of Jesus isn't one who just claims to know Jesus by way of salvation. Rather, a mature disciple becomes more and more like him in every way. We can't stop at encountering Jesus. We have to go beyond that. We have to go beyond where my iPad is currently going, because that's where everything just stopped. We can't stop at encounter. And the church in North America has gotten pretty good at stopping at encounter. Francis Chan says this: somehow many have come to believe that a person can be a Christian without being like Christ. A follower who doesn't follow. Many people in the church have decided to take on the name of Christ, but nothing else. That would be like Jesus walking up to those first disciples and saying, hey, would you guys mind identifying yourselves with me in some way? Don't worry, I don't actually care if you do anything or if you change your lifestyle at all. I'm just looking for people who are willing to say they believe in me and call themselves by my name. And I'll add on to that, no matter how they behave, while they still run with the enemy, while their lives are still being stolen and destroyed and taken. That isn't what Jesus came for. And that's all pretty churchy. So let me change the setting a little bit, because we really have to get to the heart of what being a disciple is and why. You ever hear it's important to know your why? Like, why would we do that? So let me ask you to imagine something. I want you to imagine that you're a small child at night in your home. Your family's there. Your pets are there. Some of you, if you're like me, didn't have a real home or pets or much family, but we can imagine, we're pretending it's okay, right? And there's a fire. And you don't know, you are scared and crying and you are hiding in the closet. But then there's the fireman. And the fireman, he comes to save you. He breaks through the door. He puts the oxygen on you. He carries you out. The dog gets out. Your siblings, your parents get out. And a fairy tale ending. Everything is awesome. And you can respond to that in a couple of ways. You can respond to that by growing up admiring firemen, being a fireman or woman every Halloween, saying hi to all the first responders you see when you're a little kid. When you get a little older, maybe you see them and you pay for their coffee or you pay for their breakfast. You can pull over when the sirens go by instead of staying in the lane and not letting them go by. Pet peeve. Anyway, you can give to charities that support the firemen. You can go to every fundraiser that your local volunteer fire department has, and you can even leave $10,000 or $20,000 to the local fire department in your will. And you will have had an encounter with a hero that saved your life and spent your life admiring and supporting heroes. And that's great. It is. But what if when that fire happened, you stayed in touch with that fireman that saved your life? What if as you grew up, you learned all you could about being a firefighter? What if you asked them to mentor you along the way? What if when you were 15, like Jeremiah, you joined the local volunteer fire department to do what things a 15-year-old could do, right? What if you went to school and learned how to be a firefighter and you spent your life doing the things that the hero did for you? See, here's the question today. What if you had an encounter with the hero that saved your life and you followed your hero learning to save lives, and then you spent your life doing just that? Jesus says, follow me. Follow me, and I will, paraphrase, teach you how to fight fires and save lives. That's what discipleship is all about. That's why we don't stay on the field where we were and we keep moving forward. I want to walk us through this graphic a little bit, and I'm rearranging a few things in here because the real question, honestly, I just asked. Do you want to spend your life admiring a hero, or do you want to learn to be like the hero and become a hero yourself? So we have to move. If we're going to do that, we have to move beyond exploring. We have to connect. People connect for us. We have this defined as the regular attenders of a Sunday experience. Like, you don't just come once every 6 months. You actually come regularly, right? You're connecting with people. You jump into Wednesday night Bible study because that's kind of our starting point. Pause. Every group is a starting point right now except the couples group, which is at Pastor Rick's house with Robert and Amanda leading. But because it's full. It's all full. But we have three other groups. You can jump into any of them. But other than the start of a semester, people come and they jump into Wednesday night. One, we offer childcare. It's sermon-based. You don't have to come every week. You could jump in right in the middle. It doesn't matter because you're just digging deeper into the message you learned that week. By the way, John is leading that group with Alicia. Thank you. My brain just couldn't. I was like, with her, but that didn't sound right. I'm sorry, Alicia. I love you so much. And so there's Wednesday nights. You can connect by serving on a team. By the way, you might still be exploring your faith when you do all of those things. Now, you're not going to come up on worship team if you haven't said yes to Jesus. You aren't going to teach kids in children's ministry if you haven't said yes to Jesus. But oh my gosh, if you're still exploring your faith, explore it. Be a part of tech team. Get to know them. Get to know people who can walk beside you. Be a greeter at the door. Join our host team. Join some of our check-in teams. There's a space for you, and it's good. Once people connect, they commit. That's the next step. See, you're not meant to just stay in this spot of connecting. Because that's not forward progress down the field. And when you don't make forward progress, the defense causes you to make backwards progress. Just saying. And when we commit, then it means a little bit more than showing up. Committing is where we learn to live like Jesus, and really be a part of the church body that he has called us to. Ezekiel, the prophet in the Old Testament, told us what this was going to look like. Ezekiel 36, 26, and 27, he said, God said, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you the heart of stone and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you, movement down the field, catch that? Move you to follow my decrees and keep my laws. We celebrate a new heart. When we have that digging deeper, we mature. We mature. Yep, I think I skipped that line because paper. And in that maturing, we get the new heart that Jesus came to give us. And we celebrate in that being transformed. And that maturing looks like bridge builders groups, digging in deeper into the word, digging deeper into your marriage and God's in God's plan for your marriage, or digging deeper into a book of the Bible, getting stronger within the community. It means coming to Bridge Builders membership class. I need that up there. I can't read that down there. Bridge church offerings, worship nights, prayer events, fasting, getting really involved with prayer ministry, doing a little bit more as we move from commit to mature. By the way, can I share a celebration with you guys? Last week, we had 39 individuals join Bridge Builders groups. 39 different individuals have said yes to not just committing, but maturing their walk with Jesus. Jesus tells us in Luke 6, 39 and 40, he's telling a parable, and he says, can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will become like their teacher. That's the whole goal of maturing, is that we become more like Jesus. So if we have this right, we go back to our graphic, next graphic, and we have explore. People come and explore their faith. Then they connect to their faith. They connect to us. They connect to us as a church. They commit. Maybe they go to foundations class, baptism, partnership class. Then they mature with Bridge Builders, digging deeper into their word, and then we multiply. We multiply. If we go back to the Great Commission, I just want to remind us, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to obey. And Jesus says, and I'm with you. When we progress along the field, multiplication can look all kinds of different ways. That's why we didn't put bullets up there for you to follow on multiply. You might jump into being a ministerial student if you're called to vocational ministry, but most of us are not called to vocational ministry. So you may choose to join into becoming a leader of a ministry or following alongside, being mentored, becoming a leader. You may sponsor different things. You may go with a new church plant. You may do all kinds of things. The most important thing you can do in multiplying is walk up to somebody else. I didn't tell her I was doing this. Walk up to somebody else and say, come walk with me. Let me walk alongside you and show you how to be the hero lifesaver that Jesus taught me to be, because I see a hero lifesaver in you. And let me teach you to do that. Thanks, Alicia. Everybody give her a hand. We step into leadership when we multiply. One-on-one discipling. Getting deeper into a group, maybe leading a group. Can we put that graphic back up with all the steps? Because I have a question. Where are you at? Like, don't answer out loud. But do you know where you're at? On this field, are you exploring or connecting? Are you committed? Are you maturing? Are you multiplying? What are you going to do to get the next down? First down, sorry. Downs happen automatically. First down's how we make progress down the field. What are you going to do to get there? C.S. Lewis, who wrote Chronicles of Narnia and many other amazing books, many of them not fiction, says this in Mere Christianity. The church exists for nothing else but to draw men into Christ and to make them little Christs. If they are not doing that, all the cathedrals, all the clergy, missions, sermons, even the Bible itself are simply a waste of time. God became man for no other purpose. It is doubtful, you know, whether the whole universe was created for any other purpose. I love the first line of that. The church exists for nothing else but to draw men into Christ, making them little Christs. Jesus said, follow me and become like me. Think like I think, do like I do. And then go and teach other people to do the same thing. Church, this next year, we are committed not just to having discipleship events. Why would I take the time in a sermon to show you a graphic that didn't have a single scripture on it? It was all backed by scripture. Because an event doesn't move people down the field. We have to have a disciple-making culture that continually invites other people in, that accepts them wherever they're at on the field. You could have been in church 35, 40 years and walked up and said, you know what, Pastor Jen, Pastor Rick, I'm still exploring and I need some help. Can you answer some questions? Because I've been struggling with some things. Awesome. That's great. There's no shame in that. That's fantastic. Come explore. Ask questions. Let us help you answer them. Wherever you are at, what is the next step? And our goal is to create a culture that helps you identify where you are and move forward with support, with love, and with grace. Because that's how Jesus did it. And that's what we're called to do. Are we okay, church? Yes. How do you feel about the game plan? That was really sad. I think somebody else, Sanjay, I think you needed to preach again this week. Or David or Pastor Rick or somebody. How do we feel about the game plan? We ought to feel good about the game plan. You know why? Because no matter where we're at, we have a place on the team. No matter where we're at in the process, we are surrounded by a team of people that are going to help carry us forward, that are going to block the enemy when he's coming at us, that are going to help move the ball down the field for the kingdom. That's what I have for you today. That's what Jesus has for us. Go and make disciples of all nations with all the power and authority, Jesus says, that has been given to me, for he is with us. Bridge Church, he is with us. We watched 5 minutes of pictures of us engaged out in the community. It's time that we grow up and the community inside grows along with the community outside, and we bring life and life to the full. Amen.